Hello and welcome to Pips number 5. My name's Jim, Jim Mowat, or Jim Trash to some of you, and this is a TAF special. TAF is, of course, the Transatlantic Fan Fund, and this particular race is a very vibrant one. We have four people running. They are Graham Charnock, John Coxon, Liam Proven, and Paul Treadaway. This is the TAF race to send somebody to renovation, which is on the 17th to the 21st of August 2011. Renovation is in Reno, Nevada, USA. I interviewed all four of the candidates and really enjoyed it. You're going to hear those interviews now, and around the interviews you're going to hear a song by Graham Charnock that he wrote especially for the TAF race. Here's a little bit of it now.
Please don't vote for me for TAF. Or for Paul with your likely name. Let the Jesse words for carpet ride. But if he does, then that's all right. Please don't vote for me for TAF. I'll only have to go there and be the gents of all. But frankly, I'm past it and wouldn't bother at all. I'd probably nod out in someone's lounge at some weird party where drums are passed around. So please, 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 please don't vote for me for TAF.
Whatever you might think of that song, it's certainly catchy. That is certainly going to get lodged in your brain. And that little snippet is a fine introduction to our first guest, Paul Treadaway, who I interviewed in the back garden of the Cambridge Blue Pub in the middle of pouring rain. Paul Treadaway. So, right, first question, why are you standing for TAF?
I'd like to reconnect with all the people that I've met before and meet new people and spread the network of fandom further afield.
Ah, on that point, TAF, it's an old chestnut, but it always comes up. TAF, is it still important?
Well, I guess if people are still supporting it and, you know, voting for it, donating and so on, then they must feel it's important. Could have endless arguments, I suppose, about, you know, what it was originally set up for, which is, you know, 60 years ago nearly now, isn't it?
Yes, it will be.
I mean, you know, times have changed since then, but the people must think it's important, or they wouldn't keep supporting it. I mean, you know, what importance it has to them is something you can only speculate about.
Absolutely. So, presuming you want TAF, and you got over there, are there particular people you'd want to see, particular places you want to go? Who are you thinking about meeting when you're over there?
Well, obviously, I want to reconnect with. I've met people over the years. I mean, as I said in my platform, obviously, you know, I've mostly been either selling a convention or running one.
Ah, but who in particular? Names. You know, people like to hear their own names. That's what fans do.
There are just too many. I mean, there's lots of people that I've met online that I haven't met in person yet, for example.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I say reconnecting with the people that I've met before and just meeting, you know, new people. And, you know, perhaps on a more personal level, in a more social context, then I'm just here to sell this WorldCon to you.
Ah, yes, I see. So you actually get to talk to them without selling them something. Although you will be selling them TAF in a way, in that you'll be raising funds, won't you, all the times you're going?
Well, it's part of it, isn't it? I mean, it's to raise the profile of it, and obviously people either are either into the idea or they aren't. It's going to be the future of it, isn't it?
It is, yeah. So I want to... You know, your platform was made basically about con running, because... That's what you do, mostly.
That's what I've mostly done.
I want to talk to you a little bit about con running. Now, first, why do you do it? What do you get out of it? What's the buzz about con running?
Well, I think like a lot of people, you know, it's you go along to conventions and then you realise that this is all being run by volunteers, and obviously some of them are then your friends, and you start wanting to put something back into it. So I think that's why a lot of people get into it. They want to actually start contributing. And obviously then, you know, the more involved you get in it, then you think, you know, well, this could be done better. There's all kinds of ways we could improve things. And, you know, you have ideas of your own, opinions of your own and so on. And you think, well, you know, the more involved I get, the more I can make things better. And, you know, and then, you know, you end up in this whole sort of network of people who are, you know, producing this stuff for fandom. It's... you know, it is actually a good feeling to actually, when you see people actually enjoying the thing that you're producing.
Yeah.
That is actually, you know, a very gratifying feeling.
Cool. I want to ask you also, what do you think the current state of con running is? And are there any sort of bright new con runners out there you can see coming along?
Well, the thing is, I'm a bit out of touch, to be honest. I mean, I haven't been able to get to many conventions recently, so I'm not really able to spot the talent, as it were, that's up and coming.
So, new stuff. Your fanish future, what are you planning now? What are you looking forward to?
Well, I suppose, you know, the big question is, what is the future of conventions of the sort that we're used to? You know, what are the trends with the internet and so on? A lot of the things that conventions used to provide, the introduction to new stuff and meeting like-minded people, those things are not really kind of exclusive to conventions anymore. I mean, people can get a lot of that over the internet. So the question is, I suppose, and it's a big question, I don't really have the answer to it, you know, what's going to be the future of conventions?
It's a big question. I mean, because there's all the virtual stuff going on. I don't think that replaced conventions, but do you think it could be added on to conventions? Do you think we'll get more participation through the internet? How will that happen?
That's actually been one of the interesting innovations, because I haven't been able to get to conventions for, you know, a year or two.
Yeah.
And one of the things, there's been some live video casts from some of the conventions, the virtual Tucker thing or whatever that was going on, I think.
Peter Sullivan's thing.
I think we might see a lot more of that. And, you know, I mean, when the technology improves, you know, it will be possible to interact a bit more virtually as well with the convention as it's going on. But I think people are always going to want to meet face to face. It's just a question of, you know, what sort of size and, you know, what kind of event it's going to be, I suppose.
I think so. Well, good luck with the TAF race.
Thank you.
and yeah, I hope you do well. And it's raining, so I'm going to go back in.
Yes, it's very time to go back in.
Oh, please don't vote for me for TAF. I've got no sense of humour and I don't like a laugh. I don't read science fiction and I never have a bath. So please don't vote for me for TAF. Vote for someone called Gom. He's young and handsome and well hung. Oh, cuts and cuts and cuts and cuts and cuts on. Thank God he's got his cuts on. So please don't vote for me for TAF. I've got no sense of humour and I don't like a laugh. I don't read science fiction and I never have a bath. So please don't vote for me for TAF.
And now, let's hear from John Coxon. Right, John, you're running for TAF this year.
Yeah.
And first question has to be, why? What is it that's made you run this year as compared to any other year?
I've wanted to run for TAF for a couple of years now because I think it'd be a wonderful experience for me personally. And I also think that I could do a lot to represent British fandom and to represent the sort of American-Canadian side of things when I got back from the trip. But the real impetus for choosing this year to launch my what will hopefully be my only bid, my first bid to win TAF, is mainly because I'm 22 now, whereas last year I was 20. So going abroad or below the sort of magic 21 didn't strike me as a very good idea. I did seriously consider running against Steve Green last year, but the age thing was a big factor in that decision. So yeah, basically I'm old enough, I guess.
yes, I suspect so. So you can join in with vanish activities, I suppose.
Yeah.
Another thing that particularly struck me about your manifesto, you said you were talking about new ways of reporting the trip. Now, what sort of things are you thinking about there?
I want to try and use social media to a higher extent than it's previously been used. I want to try and record, and I know Steve Green did a video blog. I want to try and build on that. I want to try and release a trip report as is traditional. I don't want to replace the trip report, obviously, because that's the central pillar of what TAF's all about. But certainly using stuff like Twitter and LiveJournal, sort of incorporating that back into the trip report as well, posting in the LiveJournal regarding my trip, getting other people to post, posting people's like responses to things I had posted. And generally trying to make it a more interactive thing than it previously had been. Because like one of the cool things I thought about Chris Garcia's trip report was reading it and coming across a passage of text where I had stolen his computer from him at a convention for half an hour or so. And I just thought that was a really cool idea. And I'd quite like to get more of that kind of thing going in what I do, alongside using stuff like video blogging and stuff like Twitter to a higher extent, because I'm, as you know, I'm an avid Twitterer, so that would be something I would be hoping to build upon. And I actually did a fanzine called Retweet at Corflu. I don't know if you saw that.
Yes,
but sort of similar things to that, trying to marry the world of fanzines and trip reports with the world of the interactive media to create something a little bit different and try and explore how the electronic world can affect the traditional fanzines in other ways than just transferring the fanzines onto the internet. But it's something that interests me. I haven't, obviously, this is all stuff that I will be thinking a lot more about as and when I win, and thinking about how to put it all together in a way that's a bit less out there. But that's the general thrust of what I'm hoping to do.
Sounds good. Yeah, I was reading Chris Garcia's TAF report quite recently, and I also liked that interactiveness that he did. There was quite a few different people had put a paragraph here and there where they grabbed his computer and just added to the report. I really enjoyed that. Another thing I want to ask you, if you win and you go over there, who are the people you particularly want to chat to?
Obviously, Chris Garcia, because he's one of my nominators and he's a good friend of mine. I'd like to meet up with the current TAF administrators, because I met them when they were on their TAF trip, and they're really great people. But certainly personally, I want to go where the cons are, and I want to meet people and try and interact with people that I haven't met before or that I don't know very well, because for me, being quite a young fan, this is going to be almost completely a sort of fresh look at how things are, because I've never been to a foreign convention before. I've never been to a Worldcon before. I've only been to like four Eastercons. And so certainly from my perspective, it's not so much about meeting people I already know as meeting new people. And hopefully that'll be something I can really bring a new perspective, or not necessarily a new perspective per se, but like an enthusiasm derived from the fact that for me it will all be completely new and completely shiny.
Yes, indeed. I wondered, I'm trying to pin you down to a name if possible. Is there one person that if you could have a wish, I mean, they may not be able to get to a con or whatever, but is there one person you think of that you've maybe read about and you haven't met yet that you'd really love to meet? Can you think of any one name in particular?
I guess for me it's not so much names as groups of people. Like, I want to go to Las Vegas to hang out with the fandom there, because I've read fanzines coming out of that collective of people and sort of individual people within that collective who have done really well. There's Bay Area fandom. I really want to meet a lot of people there. Mm-hmm. Just stuff like that. Not names per se, but groups of people who I've read about through fanzines and whatnot, and I'd love to meet them sort of in real life and get an idea for what goes into those fanzines and into those communities of fans. So no, not a name, more groups of people, I guess.
Yes.
Does that answer the question?
Yes, that's absolutely fine, John. And a particular old chestnut here. TAF, it comes up year after year after year. You know, is it still relevant? Is it still important? What do you think? What's the importance of TAF these days?
I think that because TAF obviously started because we were in a world where communication across the Atlantic wasn't as easy, and it's derived from that. And certainly, I think way back in the 50s, it was like one of the only ways that you got to interact with fans across the sea. But I don't think that makes it irrelevant today, because there are a lot of fans who can't afford to go to Worldcons, go traveling, meet other people. I think that it really gives people who aren't that privileged a chance to get more involved in a fandom, but only to get, not just from the perspective that I would love to go and see all these conventions, but from the point of view that you can feel like you're putting something into the fandoms and you're doing something for fandom, which you would previously have been unable to go and do, and to go and put that energy into something and see the rewards. And certainly I don't think the internet gets rid of the need to be with people physically either. So I don't think the fact that we can communicate more easily across the sea means that we should be getting rid of TAF or saying it's irrelevant, because I think the fact is that looking at the fund, looking at how many people are voting, looking at how many people are standing, you can really see that it's healthier than ever. So I think it's still very relevant. I really do. I think that it provides fans and fandom with an opportunity that neither of them would otherwise get. And I think it's an opportunity for people to get new experiences and for fandom to benefit as a whole from the injection of new ideas and enthusiasm and stuff like that.
Yes, yes, it is indeed. Finally, can you just tell us a little bit about yourself, just so we get to know John Coxon a little bit better? Can you maybe tell us what you're reading at the moment, what you're studying at the moment, and who you are? Just about a minute on who you are.
I'm John. I study physics, astrophysics at the University of Leicester, which is currently proving very stressful, but is usually very good fun. I'm currently reading The Forever War by Joe Haldeman, inspired by a housemate recommended it to me, and also the theme for the next EasterCon is military history, so I'm trying to read military history in preparation for that. I got into fandom when I was about 14 years old, going to the ZZ9 Carol Zadolfa AGM. I got into the Peterborough Science Fiction Group, started going to EasterCon's 2007. I've really been caught up in the fandom, caught up in how amazing everyone is. I really want to do more stuff, do more to put into the fandom and to give something back for the amazing experiences I've had from it. I've written my own fanzine, Procrastinations. I won Best New Fan at Corflu. I believe it was in Las Vegas. I could be wrong about that one, but I won Best New Fan 2008, I think it was. I love putting things into the fandom. I love helping out, and it's been such an amazing thing for me that I can't imagine not being a part of it.
Right, thank you very much. And finally, do you just want a last couple of words to the potential TAF voters out there?
Yeah, I'm biased. I genuinely think that I'm a good choice for TAF. I'm not saying that the others aren't, because four brilliant candidates are on the ballot this year, and it's going to be a closely contested fight. I'd like to think that I can bring a level of enthusiasm and possibly naivety is the wrong word, but I think I can bring a different perspective on things to the TAF trip by being less experienced with fandom than some other people are, and being a sort of fresh face and meeting new people and doing new things and putting my boundless enthusiasm into the systems and seeing what happens. So yeah, I think you should vote for me because I think I'm a good candidate, but I think the other's a good candidate as well, so it's a bit difficult, really.
Excellent. Thank you very much, John.
So please don't bother me, but I've got no sense of humour and I don't like a laugh. I don't read science fiction and I never have a bath. So please don't bother me, but oh, Paulie, I'm if you feel so inclined. He's a lovely chap and very kind. Oh, Liam, 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 Liam. You're not quite what you see, you're quite indignant, really, well, nearly. So please don't put on me a taff. I've got no sense of humour and I don't like a laugh. I don't read science fiction and I never have a bath. So please don't put on me a taff.
And now we encounter Liam Provan.
Liam Provan, you're running for TAF this year. Just wondered, why particularly this year? What brought you out and said, I'm going to run for TAF?
What brought me out was a collection of friends phoning me up. However, Jim, dear boy, you got my surname wrong. You know that.
You got your surname wrong? Go on, tell me.
Provan. P-R-O-V-E-N. You said Probon, which is a new one out of... I've not had that one before.
Right, I fell over my lips, obviously. I meant Provan, and I do apologise.
I'll try and get it right on the night. So, yes, I got a series of phone calls because I have never dreamt of running for TAF or anything quite like it before. But I was first prodded at NovaCon the end of last year when I was sitting chatting with Tobes Valois about his TAF trip and how much he enjoyed it and so on. And I was saying that I really would like to visit an American convention someday, but that I couldn't see any way that it was likely to happen in the sort of foreseeable future, because as a freelancer in the current British financial climate, I just don't have the money. And Steve Green said to me, oh my word, if only there was some sort of fund or almost like a sort of fanish charity that could sort of send you to a convention in America. Wouldn't it be great? He said, you know, you could go even if you weren't able to afford to go.
He's very subtle, isn't he, that Steve?
Hang on. There is such a thing. Yes, Liam, why don't you run for TAF? And I poo-pooed him. And Tobes went, no, you totally should, man, it's good. And I poo-pooed him as well. And there it lay for a while. And then a friend of mine, James Shields, in Ireland, phoned me up and said, Liam, you should totally run for TAF, you know. Only John Coxon's doing it, and, you know, it'd be great. And I went, no, I'm not sure about that. And various other friends phoned me up, and they all said the same thing, that you should do it, Liam, you should run for TAF. You ran for Jets a few years back. You know, you've done it before, you've done a fan fund before. Why don't you do this? And I let myself get talked into it, and here I am, to my slight startlement, the biggest TAF field since the early 90s or late 80s or something, and I appear to be in it.
You do, yes, a four-horse race. It's going to be quite something.
Yes.
I want to ask you, do you think TAF's still important these days?
I think it is. It's something of a fanish tradition now, and more perhaps in decades gone by than today. It did a great deal to sort of build friendships across the Atlantic and to get people into whole new social circles who'd never met before. But these days, with the greying of fandom and with perhaps smaller numbers than in years gone by of regular fans who went to every convention going, and more maybe people just dropping in now and again, I think possibly now that there is more of a need to try and actually get over there and persuade American fans that it's worth coming to that strange little old place across the Atlantic now and again to a con, and to persuade British fans that, hey, maybe it's worth taking a foreign holiday in the States this year and going to a con over there. Possibly numbers are shrinking. We need to do a little bit more outreach. We need to get out there and talk to people and persuade them that this thing is actually still worth doing.
Ah, yes. Just to stir up the vibrancy again.
Well, I hope so.
Yes, hope so too. When you get over there, is there anybody in particular you're looking forward to meeting?
No, I can't say that there is as a particular individual. But I've never been to a con in the States. I've never been to a con outside of Europe. And I've only ever been to two outside of the UK. I was at the Worldcon in The Hague in 1990, I think, Confiction. And that was terrific fun. I gophered and worked pretty hard all weekend. I met loads and loads of people and ran around like a lunatic and had a whale of a time. Yeah. The Worldcon in 2005, I worked press liaison on that one. And I also was involved in setting up the Young Adult Fun Activities, YAFA, program. So I'm quite used to volunteering at cons. The only other con outside of the UK I've ever been to was a small Robert Rankin-themed event in Stockholm about 6 years ago, 7 years ago now, which was terrific fun, but sort of the other end of the spectrum from a Worldcon with only about 100 members.
Oh, yeah.
So my hope would be, given that I work for myself, that I can take as much time off as I'm able to afford in America, my hope would be to spend a month or 6 weeks or maybe more over there and to travel around and visit as many different conventions as I can timetable into the period. So not just to go over for the Worldcon in Reno, but to go for maybe three or four different cons and try and travel around the country. I have been to the States before, but I've not seen very much of it. I've been around the New York and New England area, and I've been to Colorado in Denver in the area around there, and that's it. Yeah. I've never been west of the Rockies, and I've never seen the majority of the country. So I was hoping to turn the trip into a bit of an epic journey and try and travel around, visit as many different cities and places and people and fans as I possibly can. There's a few people that I'd like to go and visit with. I do have a few friends over there. I've got a few friends in the Seattle area, including Randy Byers and Dave O'Neill, who's an old friend of mine from British fandom. And I've got, as I've mentioned, friends in the Denver area. I've got some friends in the New York area. So I would hope to sort of visit a number of the big cities, the big metropolitan areas, visit with people there and so on.
Sounds good. It's funny, Seattle keeps coming up time after time. I just don't know why.
I blame those swines in Redmond.
Yes, yeah, quite possibly. Right, I was looking through your, what's it called, statement, TAF candidate thing? Manifesto, that's the word. And you say you've pubbed a couple of issues. Well, I can't actually remember them myself. What are they called?
Okay, well, when I ran for the Jets Fan Fund, which was to go to the Japanese Worldcon in 07. I wrote up a holiday that I went on. I've never been on a sort of big fanish trip, but I did what was one of, you might call a sort of holiday of a lifetime, a cruise from the south of Norway right up into the Arctic to the Russian border and back, which I did in 2004. And that was a rather long trip. It took about 2.5 weeks. I traveled something like 5,000 miles, visited 20 or 30 cities. So I took my trip diary from that and edited it together into an account, a sort of travelogue, which came out as about a 45-page long miniature book, illustrated with quite a lot of photos that I took. And I distributed copies of that to, anybody that was interested in fandom, really. I gave them away at the Easter Con that year and a couple of other cons, and I gave them away at the Ton in London. It's also available still on efanzines.com. It was called Sailing North. So I just did that to show people, look, I can actually write because, amongst other things, I write for a living. I'm a professional journalist, mainly working in the IT area. But I can write, and I've written and published professionally thousands of pieces. So here's a report of a trip that I did. If you send me to Japan, this is an indication of the sort of thing that I will give you back in return. It went down rather well. So that sort of counts in a way. It wasn't a fanzine as such. In fanzine terms, I used to be indirectly a member of an APA called Eknestis, which was run by Maureen Kincaid Speller.
Yeah.
And my then partner was a member of this, but that meant that also if I wished, I was able to. So I produced a magazine for them, which I sent out, which was called at the time the Rent Boy Review. And that went out to Eknestis, so that wasn't sort of general circulation. However, I've written for other people's fanzines. I've had pieces in Floss, in Journey Planet, in Banana Wings, I think, possibly in Plockter. I've had pieces in John Coxon's zine and Doug Spencer's zine and a few other places. I've also got pieces pending in James Shields' fanzine Brick Fix, and another piece coming up quite soon for Journey Planet. And I'm talking to Pete Young about doing a piece for Zoo Nation when he does another issue of that. So, you know, I've not done that many of my own, but I've done a couple of issues of my own, but I've appeared in quite a few other people's zines.
Yes, a lot more than I expected, aren't you? Right. I want to ask you. You were talking to me earlier, possibly about this EasterCon. You've just had something landed in your lap.
Yeah, this has just come up. I am now running the program for Illustrious, the 2011 EasterCon at the Hotel Metropole at Birmingham's National Exhibition Centre. So this is a bit of a turn up for me. I've never been on a convention committee in a formal role before. I've helped out on a couple of Octocon committees before now and things like that. The chap who was running the program has had to step down for personal reasons, so I've taken over, but I'm starting with a pretty much clean slate. So I've got a few people that I'm going to be getting some help and guidance from, not having done this before, but this is quite exciting, and I'm going to be spending a lot of the next 2 or 3 months putting together a program. I've already got a list of volunteers who've offered to appear on program, and we've got some ideas. And of course, we have a couple of themes for the convention, one upon which is SF over the decades and one of which is military science fiction, because the guest of honour is David Weber, who's well known for writing that sort of thing.
Yes.
So I'll be putting things together along those themes, but also be looking to assemble a programme about science and science fiction, possibly trying to get some stuff to introduce specific elements of fandom to people that aren't otherwise involved with those, such as gaming, filking, costuming and things like that.
Well, it sounds very daunting.
Yeah, I thought that.
I wish you
luck.
But
hey, you know, steep learning curve. But, you know, I think a lot of people have done this kind of thing before, and everybody had to do it for the first time at some point. So, you know, the deep end.
Indeed. Right. Finally, if you can round it up for me, in about a minute, can you tell the TAF voters what kind of guy you are, why they should vote for you for TAF?
In 1 minute, oh my. Let me see. Well, I'm a very genial and easygoing chap, and I get on with virtually everybody. I do a little bit of almost everything. I'm not particularly factional. I am, as I hope I'm coming across, articulate and can communicate and can get on well with people in various different countries. I've lived abroad and so on. And I very much want to do this, and there is no other way in my life as it is at the moment that I'm ever going to get to afford to cross an ocean to go to a convention. So unlike some of the other candidates who are possibly going to cons in America this year already or have done so before, I've never done it before and I'm probably not going to be able to do it again. But the only way I'm going to be able to make this trip is to do it as the TAF delegate. So I'm really hoping that I get to win.
Excellent. Well, thank you very much, Liam. And I wish you luck.
Thanks very much. Cheers, Jim.
Please don't vote for me, but I'll only have to go there and be the chance of all. But frankly, I'm past it and wouldn't bother at all. But probably not out in someone's lounge at some weird party where drums are passed around. So please, 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 please don't vote for me, but
And although he doesn't give himself a proper introduction in the song, here's Graham Charnock.
Graham, I shall get stuck straight into it and ask you, you're running for TAF now. Why particularly now rather than any other time? You've been a Bowing fan for years and years and years.
So I have, but I've been out of the loop for a long time, essentially, and only really got back actively into fanzine fandom at least in sort of the early part of this century, and notably in 2003, I think, when I went to Hinckley EasterCon. And before that, I previously got in touch with the lovely boys from Chunga, who had revitalized me and given me an appetite for writing fanish stuff again. But it never occurred to me, I honestly thought I was too old to stand for TAF, because I've always thought TAF was a young man's game. And later last year, I did sort of thrash around the idea when the idea for the 2011 TAF race was first mooted, that hell, why not? You know, I might as well do it. But then I didn't do anything about it. And in the end, when it came down to Steve Green sent out a message that only John Coxon was standing, and if no one else stood, it was going to have to be called off, because it's obviously no point having a one-horse race. So that was the point that tipped me to think, well, I might as well give it a go, you know, give John something to go up against.
Yeah.
And people had managed to convince me by then that sort of I was being a bit of a weary guts about being old and ageist and whatnot, and that I still had some life left in me. Oh, I've still got some life left in me, Doctor. So I decided to go ahead with it.
Right, splendid, because it looks like it's going to be quite a lively race. I was looking through your manifesto. It's a lovely piece of writing, actually. I quite enjoyed it.
Thank you.
I see you promise in your manifesto to turn into a rabid shrew and party until your balls fall off. So,
of course, that's a reference to the old
Wrinkled Shrew. Free roaming testicles. Why is it a shrew?
Well, I did a fanzine called Wrinkled Shrew. You might not remember. You're a young lad with Pat, which gained some notoriety in its day, and we were quite pleased with it. And almost won an award. So shrews have always been close to my heart as those nice little furry creatures, but who can sometimes turn nasty. And that's me, really.
That's you, yes.
I'm generally nice and mild, but I can give someone a rabid bite if necessary.
Ooh. And do you think it will be necessary?
I don't think so. But I think shrews are also known for being sort of very febrile, hot-blooded, fast-moving little animals, and hence short-lived, unfortunately, poor things. So I thought that might be a good way to go through the American continent, sort of get coked up, amphetamined up, or whatever drugs they use these days. Not that I do drugs or condone the use of them on any level. Don't do it. White lines, don't do it. But just sort of, you know, get myself psyched up, worked up, and go through America on a high.
Sounds good. Who are you particularly looking forward to meeting over there?
It's going to sound terrible, isn't it? But all my old friends, guys I know, which I suppose is against the TAF ethic, I suppose you're supposed to go over there and make new friends and influence people, which is also on the cards. But I can't really predict who I'm going to meet and get on with and want to hang out with. The more the merrier, really. I mean, I've got a lot of old friends over there, specifically in Seattle, you know, people like Randy Byers and John Berry and places like that. I'm assuming some of those will be around at the Worldcon. If not, I can probably do a road trip up to Seattle. I'm really looking to make something of a deal of it and start on the East Coast and go through, try and get into people like Jerry, Ted White, Kurt Phillips in Abingdon, Frank Lunny, Pennsylvania, sweep right across America, up through Las Vegas, calling on the vagrants, maybe go up to Reno, obviously, and then onwards and upwards to Portland, Oregon, where Dan Stephan hangs out, up through San Francisco, where I've got lots of good friends like Robert Lickman, Bruce Townley, and up on into Seattle. Whether that will work out or not, whether I'll have time to do it all, I don't know, but that's an ambition.
It's a hugely ambitious project, yeah, but a lot of fine names then, a lot of people that it would be delightful to meet.
Yeah.
So, you're doing this rebirth thing as it's your second coming, I suppose, as a fan. What do you see as the future? What can we see from Graham Charnock in the future?
More of the same, essentially, until I peg out. I'm doing a fanzine at the moment, which will be my last fanzine pre-Corflu and pre-Eastercon, so it's obviously something to sort of remind people in who are interested in voting for me for TAF that I can still do fanzines. It's going to be mostly self-written, so it's to try and remind people that I can write a bit. Get that out in another few weeks, I hope. After that, more and more.
Right.
I do like trying to get into high-profile fanzines, like, and that's why I brought up Chunga, because it's really my favourite fanzine of all. It should have won Hugo's long ago.
Mm-hmm.
And Banana Wings, of course, is another high-profile thing. I've been in with a Con Report in a few issues back, and I'd like to do more for them. But anyone will have me. Even John Coxon, if he wants an article from me, he can have one.
I'm sure John Coxon would print your stuff, wouldn't he?
Yeah.
Seeing as I've got a fanzine fan here with me now, there's something I'd quite like to ask you. The Hugo Award this year, Starship Sofa, a podcast as a fanzine. What do you think as a podcast as a fanzine?
I don't think much of it, quite honestly. I'm old fashioned, and I like paper fanzines for a start. I've grown to accept email fanzines. I think Bill Burns is doing a magnificent job in collecting all these and giving people access to other people's e-fanzines through his website.
Yeah.
So I can live with e-fanzines. Occasionally it's good to come and they're easy to download, but nothing is ever the same as a paper fanzine.
Yeah.
I don't like the idea of podcasts as fanzines because they're not fanzines, are they?
Well,
what do you think?
They're a different thing.
I'll throw it back at you, Jim. What do you think?
I think they actually are. They're a different form. But, a paper fanzine is one thing and will be enjoyed in one way. An audio fanzine, which, a podcast could be an audio fanzine, I think is enjoyed in a different way. And I think it's extra to add to the rich tapestry of fandom. But I don't think the Hugo category fanzine should include both, because I think they are different. They can have similar content, but they're different in the way.
Well, I'm in agreement with you. If we want to clutter up the Hugo with even more categories, fine, go ahead and do it. Paper fanzine is okay. Electronic fanzine is okay. Something that's not written, but essentially audio or even video, it doesn't quite do it for me. Yeah. If they want to have a separate Hugo category for it, fine.
Well, that's what I'd go for, a different category. Yeah. Right, so you're going to do TAF, you're going to go for it, and I presume you're going to do a paper TAF report?
Yeah, of course.
Have you got a name for it yet?
The Great American Novel, I think is what I'm going to call it. Because it'll probably be that big. I'll probably have to publish it on Lulu or something as a novel. I also want to do is try and chronicle it in another kind of way, which is through videos. And I want to take a fairly good video system with me if it comes off, and if it happens. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But if it happens, I'd like to invest in some really good video gear and actually do a road trip video. It's reasonably semi-professional and edited down and full of interviews with people. Because I did interview Chris Garcia at one of the Heathrow Eastercons, and I thought that went quite well. So I'd like to do some more of that, sort of interviewing fans and writers in a sort of fairly structured format. Sit down face-to-face and do it that way, rather than just sort of stumble into a party with a video recorder and point it at someone.
Oh yeah.
So that's another ambition that I might try and incorporate in the trip.
Yeah, it'd be quite good. I was looking at that Chris Garcia video you did the other day, and I did a similar interview with Chris Garcia for an audio, And it, although it was good, I think we both had a similar problem in that if you're interviewing in a convention, then there's a huge amount of background noise.
Mm.
So although it seems a bit rude, I think often the best way is to try grab hold of the person and take them into an unused room somewhere.
Yeah, that would have been my ambition with Chris, though, that we just sort of sat down at a bar. Mm. And so obviously people like Max at one time came up and sat down at the table and seemed totally unaware that we were recording anything and sort of just joined in the conversation from the sidelines. And I thought, Max, shut up, I'm interviewing here.
Oh, that reminds me, it was quite funny. Steve Green did the same when, I'm in ZZ9 Plural Z Alpha, and we were interviewing a guy, Dirt Mags, who's done a lot of the production on the audio for Hitchhiker's Guide. And we were interviewing him at Corfu. And we all sat around and we got the microphone there and we're asking him questions. And Steve Green wandered in and just started chatting.
That's right.
Of it all. It wasn't too bad.
That's what fandom's about. Fandom's a casual thing, isn't it? Especially at conventions, your conversation's going on and you just wander in and sort of take part or whatever. If you want privacy, you're quite right. Get a room, as they say.
Get a room. Yeah, poor Steve didn't know what was going on, and then he figured, sorry, I didn't realise you were recording, but, it all worked out all right.
It's all fun.
Anyway, I'll finish this up, because, I don't want to keep you all night. I want, just before we finish, final sort of campaign notice, about a minute just saying who you are, maybe what you're reading at the moment, or what qualifies you to be the TAF candidate of choice?
Gosh, I'm Graham Charnock. I've been around a long time. I do lots of fun things. I'm a shit hot writer, and therefore you should vote for me. At the moment, I'm reading a lot of science fiction, not. What I'm reading is a lovely book by Stephen Sondheim about songwriting, because I also do a bit of songwriting in my own time. And this is a lovely book I picked up that's just it's collected lyrics, and it's just readable from beginning to end. You can go into it, and each song tells a story, and that's what we're all about, is telling stories. That's not science fiction. It's got nothing to do with science fiction, but that's what I'm reading at the moment. It's all part of the great eclectic nature of Graham Charnock, which is another reason why you should vote for me. Okay?
Okay, thank you very much, Graham Charnock. And
thank you, Jim. Be seeing you.
But of course, I urge all of you to vote for somebody for TAF and hand over lots of money at the same time. Bye for now.